Today we're reading Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. And as we look at this, it's a prayer that Paul is praying for the church there. So let's read this together. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So he begins by saying, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. And this whole thing is a prayer. Paul is continually praying for the people. And I thought, well, I could just talk about the prayer, or we could pray it. Right? And it's easier to talk about a prayer than to actually pray it. So this morning, instead of giving a message, I'm going to pray. Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, are you going to actually pray for like 20 minutes? Because after 2 minutes, usually my mind wanders a little bit. They tell me to bow my head and close my eyes, and I didn't sleep well last night, so off I go. I give you permission to keep your eyes open, right? You can even take notes if you like as we're praying, but I'm going to address this message not to you, but to God. And as I address it to God, if you agree and you're paying attention and you're coming alongside and you're like, yes, that's what I like, you're allowed to shout out amen, or you're allowed to kind of give a little nod and say, that's right. And so, let's pray. Father God, we come before you just as Paul did, and we ask, and we continually ask, that you fill us with the knowledge of your will. What a great prayer that is, that you fill us with the knowledge of your will. And often, God, when we think about your will, we think about guidance. I've got a decision to make. Who I'm going to marry, who, what job I'm going to take, where I'm going to move. Decisions. But God, as we ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will, it's more than just the decisions. It's more the whole lifestyle. It's what you want out of our lives, because as our lives are formed by you and filled with the knowledge of you, we'll live out consistently with who you are. That's probably why Paul prayed this continually for the church of Colossians. Because just like today, we need the knowledge of God's will to know who he is in order to how I live our lives. God, we need that again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So we continually pray this, that we'll live consistently with who you've formed us to be as your people. And God, I find it amazing that Paul was praying for these people and he'd never actually met them. He didn't know their names. He didn't recognize their faces. He'd only heard about them. And yet he's praying for them. And we're praying for ourselves today that we'll be filled up with the knowledge of your will, God. But it also reminds us to pray for others. Others that we don't know. Barry and Sarah Beeler have started a group Thursday nights to pray for the unreached peoples. God, lead people to go to that group. Lead us to be a people who are praying for the church in Quebec that we ministered to this summer. I didn't get to go, but we pray for them. Pakistan and Ethiopia and other countries that our church supports. So fill us with the knowledge of your will. And as we know your will, chances are we'll get to know who you are more, God, because to know God's will is to know your character. The two always go together. And so, God, we want to know you, but in order to know what you want for us, we need to know who you are. That's why our motto is to know Christ and to make him known, because we want to know you. And as we know you, then we know what you desire, your will, and what you'd have us, how you'd have us to live. So fill us. Fill us, Father, with the knowledge of your will. And it continues on. Paul prayed that this would happen through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. We need your wisdom, Holy God. Google gives us lots of information. We can drown in a sea of data, But we need so much more than just information to know things. Because I know that tomato is a fruit, but I need the wisdom to not put it in a fruit salad. And we can know lots of things about who God is, but we want wisdom, God. Wisdom and how that will affect our lives, how that will change us, how that will form our day to day. And in this prayer, Paul's using all the buzzwords of the day. The group of the Gnostics, they came and they were promising a better spirituality. They're saying, you can have this great wisdom. Follow our teachings and we'll give you this wonderful knowledge and understanding and hype you right up into a better spirituality. And Paul's using all of their buzzwords to pray for them to say, no, where's this wisdom come from? Where's this filling and this better spirituality come from? It's what the Spirit gives. Not by following certain teachings, and so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you fill us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you fill us with the knowledge of God's will. We ask, Spirit, that you give us wisdom and understanding. And what's the purpose? What's the result of this prayer? So that we may live a life worthy of the Lord. That our lives will be pleasing to you, God. We pray that you fill us so that our lives will be pleasing to you and will live worthy in you. Because the knowledge of God's will is always practical in nature. Last week we read about the gospel bearing fruit all around the world. And how does it bear fruit? By us as your followers, God, living lives that are worthy of you. By producing Christ-likeness through the Spirit. It's almost like there's this virtuous cycle going along. We get to know God and who He is. That gives us wisdom in how to live. We live in a way that's worthy of the Lord. And then we get to know who God is even more. And it carries on. And so that's what we pray, that we live a life worthy of the Lord. And God, when we ask that we live a life worthy of the Lord, we acknowledge that we're not earning our worth. It's not like we can say, I'm going to do all these good things to prove myself worthy of God. Well, that's impossible. We ask that we live a life worthy of the Lord because we want to demonstrate and to show how much worth you have. We want to live in such a way to show the world, God, who you are. We often battle with so many things, whether pride gets us down, anger gets in the way, lust pulls us aside, worldliness just takes our thoughts. And God, we pray that we'll live worthy of you by being a people that are selfless, that we sacrifice and put others first, we go out of our way to love others, that we stand firm, and that we live lives that are pure and holy and pleasing to you. We pray that we live lives worthy of the Lord. Now, I've been praying, but I want to give you a chance to pray. Because here we are. You're listening to my prayer. You're engaging. You're listening. But I want to give you an opportunity to grab three or four people around you and pray just this, that we'll be a people that lives our lives worthy of the Lord. That may stretch some of you beyond your comfort zone. And I want to acknowledge that for you to pray with others here may be a little bit intimidating. But be blessed by it. And if you're kind of exploring the faith and you don't necessarily know God yet, just listen as others pray. But I want to give you a few minutes. Grab three or four people around you and pray with them. Pray for one another that you will live lives worthy of the Lord. And Paul didn't know the specifics of these people, but he prayed that they'd live their lives worthy of the Lord. And so even if you don't know the exact prayer requests of those around you, pray with them anyway, and just pray that God would give them the wisdom and the knowledge so that you live lives worthy of the Lord. So take a few minutes, grab a few people, spend some time in prayer, and I'll interrupt you in a couple of minutes. Let's continue praying together as a large group, imitating the prayer that Paul prayed for the church of the Colossians. So he prayed that they'd have this wisdom of the knowledge of God. Then he moves in. The reason for that is that they'd live lives worthy of the Lord. So, Father, we continue praying, saying, yes, we want to be filled with this wisdom and the knowledge of you, so our lives are worthy of you. That our lives are worthy of you so that we can please you in everything that we do, in all of our good works. Think of a young child and they're drawing. It's never going in a museum. It's not a masterpiece at all. But they give it to their parent. Now it's a masterpiece. The parent's pleased. They're just thrilled by it. They're enthralled by their child. They're filled with joy. And God, that's how we want our lives to be lived. We're not perfect. We're not doing everything right. But you're our Father, and we desire to please you. We desire to live our lives like this is for you, God. This is to make you smile. And I just imagine you smiling, God. I imagine you enthralled with us as your children. What a neat thing. God smiling. Him pleased. Does God get tickled pink? I imagine so. We want to please you with our lives and how we live. I guess the opposite could also be true. And God, I think of those times of unbelief. Those times when we turn our back on you, when we don't do as you would have us do, how that would just crush you. You'd be sad. How you'd be grieved. How you'd be displeased. And so we confess as a church that we sin. We confess that we don't always live in a way that pleases you. In fact, we grieve you. And that's why we need the next part of this prayer. We ask that you strengthen us with all power so that we can endure. It's our heart's desire that we please you, God, and yet so often we don't. And so strengthen us with all power according to your glorious might so that we might have great endurance and patience. And we need that endurance, right? Because how do we keep on bearing fruit? The Gnostics were coming to the Colossians and they were hyping them all up, giving them this great spirituality, saying, just follow us, we've got this great music, this inspirational speaker, we'll hype you up, we'll give you this better spirituality. But getting hyped up doesn't help us persevere. It just kind of gets us going down the track. And so, God, we pray for a perseverance. Because in the battles that we face and in the temptations that we have, they're so difficult. And we feel alone. That's why we pray for this power to endure, your glorious power. And what power are we praying for? All of your power, God, the same power that created, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. That power is living in us through the Holy Spirit, and so that's what we put our trust in, so that we can endure. And perseverance is hard. Like last week, we talked about the hope, the end prize, the goal. Lead us on to persevere, Holy God. So now we can pray with a joyful thanks. We can joyfully give thanks. And I don't know, is there another type of thanksgiving than a joyful thanksgiving? Maybe if we don't like the gift we're given. God, I don't like this trial that you've given me. Father, I don't like these hardships that I'm in. I just want to be happy. Why the difficulties? But I know you're God, so I'll give you thanks anyway. But joy? Not so sure. Other times, God, I acknowledge that we feel like you owe us. Like, we're your people. And you're God. Isn't it in your job description just to forgive us and bless us and do good things? Because that's what you do, right? And yet, when we feel like you owe us, yeah, we might say thank you, but a joyful thanks? It's only when we recognize your grace that we'll give a joyful thanks. We read in Deuteronomy 28:47, and God, you're saying to the Israelites, because you didn't serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore in hunger and thirst you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. And God, you made your people Israel prosper. You blessed them so much. They didn't joyfully give thanks to you. They thought, we did this all on our own. They felt like they were entitled to all of the good things you gave them. So you gave them over to their enemies. And so, God, we want to stop and say, no, we will choose to joyfully give thanks for the good times and the bad. Through all of life, in all, everything, we joyfully give thanks. And I wonder if we don't give joyful thanks because we're often unaware of what you're doing in our lives, God. This prayer continues to tell us exactly what you're doing. We joyfully give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified us to share in the inheritance of your holy people in the kingdom of light. You've qualified us to share in the inheritance. I don't know if qualifications are just a modern obsession. Get a degree. If you have certificates, then you've proved yourself because you have the credentials. We always want to prove ourselves above our competitors and our rivals because it's a competitive job market. But to be qualified to be part of your kingdom, God, how good do we have to be? Somewhere between Mother Teresa and Stalin? Like, is 50% enough? What if we only hit 49? I'm usually a B-plus kind of guy, so I'm probably okay. But God, what does it take to be qualified to be part of your kingdom? Your word says, be holy as he is holy. And I'm thinking, well, no one's perfect. And God's saying, well, it's kind of the opposite of qualified. There's unqualified and there's disqualified. Unqualified means you just haven't quite made the standard yet. Like, I'm not a brain surgeon because I haven't done all of that work yet. I'd love to try it, but I'm unqualified, right? Disqualified, and there's no shame in being unqualified sometimes. I'm not ashamed that I'm not a brain surgeon. But disqualified is when you've taken yourself out of the running. And you've failed in one way or another. You're excluded because you're proved unworthy. And God, we come before you and we want to be qualified for your kingdom. But I know I'm just human and I'm unqualified. I can't measure up to your perfect standard because, God, your standard is holy and perfect and I'm not there, but no one is, so I don't feel so bad. But, God, we also acknowledge that we're disqualified from your kingdom because the wages of sin is death, because we've done wrong, because we've rebelled against you and we're not part of your kingdom. But we joyfully give thanks because you have qualified us. Nothing that we've done. Qualifications are granted and not earned. And so, God, we thank you that you have granted us the qualification to be part of your kingdom, to share in the inheritance of your kingdom, not because we've earned it, but even when we've disqualified ourselves, you've qualified us. And how? You've qualified us to share in your kingdom because, as it says in verse 13, you've rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that you love. You've rescued us. And so many times we feel inadequate. We feel shame. We feel like we don't measure up and we can't. And yet, you've taken us out of the dominion of darkness and you've brought us into a new kingdom. You've rescued us. And we thank you for that. And God, we acknowledge that there's actually only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. And often it feels like, well, I'm probably kind of in the middle somewhere, but it's one or it's the other. And we don't feel like we're in the kingdom of darkness. But isn't that the thing with darkness? When you're in the dark means you don't really know where you are. You're kind of oblivious. And God, thank you that you've rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. And you've brought us into your kingdom, the kingdom of light. And you've rescued us through the work of your Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We belong to that kingdom of darkness. And yet you've purchased us with the blood of your own Son, who died to take away our sin, to bear our sin himself, to be that substitute. You've redeemed us to bring us back into your kingdom, to transfer, to uproot, to transplant us into your kingdom. We have lots of reason to joyfully give thanks because he's qualified us, he's rescued us, he's redeemed us, and he's forgiven us. God, we thank you that you've forgiven us. And this is the present tense. It's not like we have to wait for the future to know if I've can measure up, but you've forgiven us, and you've forgiven us through what Jesus has done. So right now I know I'm forgiven. Right now I have an assurance that my sins have been wiped away. They've been put aside because I have been forgiven. And so we joyfully give thanks to you. We have the hope, God, that one day we'll be with you in eternity. where all our incompleteness will be completely filled, and yet now we pray that you fill us with the knowledge of your will. God, we pray that all these voids, all the emptiness, all the brokenness in our life, that you fill us with you, the knowledge of you, not just knowing about you, but actually knowing you, so that we can live our lives worthy of you, to please you in every way. And we give thanks. We joyfully give thanks because you've qualified us. You've set us free from the kingdom of darkness. You've brought us into the kingdom of life through the work of Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. So normally I give a sermon and then I pray at the end. So now I prayed and now I give a sermon at the end. I pray this hasn't been an encouragement to you. And go home and read through this passage again and make it your prayer. Sometimes we're not the greatest at praying, and it's like, well, how do we pray? Well, take these prayers and make it your own. Pray for your family members one at a time that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will. Pray for unreached people groups around the world. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for us as a church. Be a people of prayer that we may grow and be filled and live this amazing life that God has for us. All right? Let's continue praising God through our last song.